Hello, and welcome to the Bethesda podcast feed. It's here you can find all of our recorded services. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. We hope you enjoy.
So I'm doing part two of my series, Get Ready, We're Having Company. Get Ready, We're Having Company. So I'm going to say a prayer and we'll jump right into it. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, help me to say something that we can use, God, that speaks to our heart and help us to hear it, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. We wrote names on these cards. I've got these cards right here. We wrote these names. People that don't know Jesus like we know Jesus. People that, you know, it might be said of them, they'll never come to church. They may say, if I ever walk in the doors of a church, the roof's going to cave in. We wrote their names on here. And I'm telling you, we're after them. We're praying for them. We're believing for them. We're witnessing to them. Many of these names right here, these people, they live in this area. They're in proximity to us, to you. And we, you, me, we can help win them to the Lord. God spoke to Valerie and I don't say that all the time, but we just felt like he dropped a number in our heart, and that number was 100 souls to believe for in 2024. 100 soul revival. And unbeknownst to us, God spoke that same number to Sienna, and Sienna wrote it down and sent us a picture of that and said, look what I wrote down. And it was when we were challenged, she had the same number. And my dear brothers and sisters, we've got to start believing God for 100 soul revival in 2024. If he spoke it, his word is sure. More sure than that Republican's word that you follow on Instagram. More sure than that Democrat's word that you follow on X. More sure than Robert Kennedy's word, that independent. More sure than Elon Musk's word, our God is not a man that he should lie. His word is forever settled. And I'll tell you something, he does nothing, the Bible says this, except he first revealed it to his servants, the prophets. And if God revealed it, we need to believe it, and we need to expect it, like I preached Sunday morning. We need to expect it. But I'll say this too, he's not going to do it by himself, and he's not going to send his angels to do what you and I can do. He's going to use us, you and me, to reach and to teach and to influence and to pray and to compel them to come in. Everywhere we go, we need to start seeing people as souls. Are you with me? Souls. Messed up people. I worked with some people today. They were messed up. But I told somebody else, don't be surprised if you see them here, because they're souls. And I'm after them. It doesn't matter how messed up they are. Souls that we need to win to Christ. We used to say that. We need to win somebody to Christ. He that wins souls is wise. Soul winning is a biblical concept. Going to all the world, it's a biblical concept. And if you're believing and expecting, then ask God to use you to bring that word to pass. It's getting quiet in the old Presbyterian church here at the corner of Airline and Daigle. But he's not just going to use the preacher and the singers, he's going to use you and me. Be a bringer. We got these cards, man. We make it easy. Where's my cards? I've got cards right here. It's easy. I got mission recovery ones. I got be my guest ones. I mean, it's simple. It's easy. I got a little mechanism. Did I tell you my little trick? I got a trick. I'm like, God, you're going to have to help me. Because it's awkward just to go up to somebody. I mean, unless the Lord leads you, it's strange to go up to somebody like at the post office. Hey. I don't know who you are. You don't know who I am. I'm a stranger talking to you. Here's a card. I'd love for you to come join me at my church. That's a little weird. I'm not above that. I've done stuff like that. But my new little thing is, I said, Lord, if somebody addresses me first, if they specifically address me, and I don't mean like they honk their horn and give me a dirty sign, but I mean like they're like, you know, how you doing today? Well, I'm doing good. How are you? If I get like that much of a conversation, I'm going to see that as my sign to whip out the card and say, you know what? I'm doing great. I would love for you to be my guest right up here at the corner of Airline and Daigle. I'm going to use that as my entry. Like, here's your invitation. And that person is lanyap, as we say. They're not even on these names. If we're faithful to pray for these people and we're faithful to believe God and fast, put some fasting with it, prayer. But then also if we're faithful to speak up and to be a bringer and to engage people, then I believe God's going to honor us and send somebody across their path that's maybe a stranger at the time to them, that's going to give them an invitation to a church service that could change their lives forever, or perhaps a lunch or a coffee or a Bible study. So be a bringer. Be a text to winner. If you signed up for that, text to win. Maybe you're a Bible study teacher. We've got a small group on that, learning how to be the best Bible study teacher you could be. Whatever you're supposed to do, ask God what you're supposed to do, and then do it. Do it with all your heart. Do it as unto the Lord. I can think of nothing greater than to be a soul winner, because everything else down here is temporarily. But if you get somebody won to the Lord, if somebody is now in Christ that wasn't in Christ because of your testimony, that's eternal, y'all. That's eternal. And people are hungry. We've got to become convinced that people are hungry. Hungry. I'm a church planter, and I've heard this for years. You know, people would say, well, you know, that's not a fertile area for soul winning. That's not a good place to start a church. That's a hard place to start a church. Can I just tell you, I don't know of any easy place to start a church. They're all hard. We were on the East Coast, up north. It was hard. Down here in the deep fried dirty of Louisiana, it's hard. We've never looked at each other and said, boy, this is easy. It's never easy. It's always difficult. And in evangelism circles, they'll say, well, that's a burnover field. You know, like that ground's been sown. That apostolic message came into that region, and you know, it's people accepted it or rejected it or went nuts with it, and it's a burnover field. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, man. There's hungry people all over the place. And I was taught, you know, like sometimes a burnover field's more fertile than, you know, the other kind of fields, you know. And there's hungry people everywhere. I don't think we're convinced of that. It's the end times, and the love of many will wax cold, and the devil's trying to wear out the saints, but there are still hungry people. Hungry people, hungry to touch the transcendent. They're not hungry for religion and rituals and a form of godliness and going through motions. They're hungry for an authentic, lasting, life-transforming relationship with the true and living God. And there is bread in this house. Bethlehem, the name, it means house of bread. And where Jesus is manifested, birthed, celebrated, and adored, that's a house of bread. He is the bread of life. And there is bread in this house. There is word in this house. There is teaching in this house. There's a move of God in this house, which I'll get to in a few minutes. I want to talk to you right now about spiritual oppression for just a moment. The Bible speaks of principalities and territorial spirits, evil spirits that dominate areas geographically. The classic text for this is Ephesians 6:12. I don't know if I gave that to you, Troy. Ephesians 6:12. It's familiar. It is the classic passage. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but the idea is we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Principalities. You've heard the word municipalities. this is the same idea. It's a region. It's an area where rulers of the darkness, powers that be, spiritual hosts of wickedness, they reign over those particular areas. We see this in the book of Daniel with the prince of Persia, principality, and the prince of Greece, principality, a territorial spirit, fallen angels that rule over geographic areas and influence people. Their influence is undeniable. They leave an indelible impact. But here's how you knew that those principalities were having an impact. You would just look at the people, and you could see what dominated them, the strengths, the weaknesses that they demonstrated. You could see, you could learn, you could begin to understand what is governing in that region, because those people are thinking the way those spirits want them to think, and behaving like those spirits want them to behave, and believing like those spirits want them to believe. It was that way in ancient Persia and Greece. It was that way in Ephesus, where Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 6. And so it is today in our cities, in our parishes. And in this area, there is a strong influence of religion. Religious spirits prevail in this area. They've hijacked churches. See, back in ancient Persia and Greece, there was no church per se. There was no Christianity per se yet. In Paul's day, in Ephesians, there was a new church, an early church, but they were fighting against paganism for the most part. But in our days, the religious spirits here have hijacked churches and used Christian language and culture and guise themselves in Christian doctrine. Are you with me? People are oppressed by these religious spirits, meaning they're pressured, they're oppressed, so they're pressured into going to the acceptable churches. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching so good. Come on now. The church that the family has always gone to. You know, you're not going to the sanctioned one if you hear this. Your grandmother would roll over in her grave if she knew you were going to that church. That's pressure. Am I right? You don't want to let grandma down. You don't want grandma rolling over in her grave. You don't want to disappoint the family. Could it be if those churches are not preaching the truth? Can I just be straight up? Could it be that the principalities and the religious spirits are wanting people to be stuck in those churches year after year and generation after generation? Like a gigantic funnel, and they just all get stuck in the funnel, and they're just all going down. That's what the way those spirits want it to work. A church that those spirits may want people to go to, they may paint it in this picture. All the right people go to that church. If you want your business to prosper and you want to get more contacts and clients, that's the church you should go to. All the beautiful people go there. And besides that, you don't want to go to church with poor people, and you don't want to go to a church with religious nuts. That's oppression, pressure. I don't want to go to a loser church. I want to go to a winner church. What's a winner church? A big, gigantic church. And you know, I don't think size of a church is illustrating if that church has the truth or not. Y'all know I don't believe that. I believe we can have a truth, preaching, teaching, powerful move of the Spirit, big church. We just need a bigger building,
for crying out loud.
I'm going to be talking to y'all about that too. But the thing is, you know, at the same time, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the path, and few there be that find it. Now, there's 8 billion people in the world, so, I mean, a few could be a few hundred million compared to the 8 billion. So I believe our churches can be big. I pray to God that our church grows to the point that we can't contain them all in here, and we got to rent places, or we got to build, or we got to do something else. But I'm just saying that if you look in this area, I'm convinced, and you'll hear me talk about it more and more, there are religious spirits behind these kinds of attitudes in our region. And these spirits are heavy. They're bullies. They're going to keep you in your place. And don't think they don't play the race card. Well, that's a white church. That's a black church. That's a Hispanic church. They all speak in English. But by God, forget about us worshiping together. My Bible says that when you get to heaven, it says from every tribe and every race and every nation, there's not like 5 different heavens or 8 different heavens. It's one heaven. Everybody together saying, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I mean, it's all of us worshiping together. And those bully spirits, those religious spirits, they play the race card too. They try to divide in every way they can and try to keep us pressured in places where the word is not going forth. It's like a spell that's put on people. It's a religious spirit, and it absolutely dominates in this area. I am blown away. The more I look at it, the deeper I pray about it and study it, I'm blown away. You got good people. Good people. They want to do the right thing. They want to love Jesus, but they are bullied by this spiritual, this principality in this area. And by God, this is going to be a place where those spirits don't rule and reign. We're going to bully that spirit in Jesus' name. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. We're headed that direction. We're moving in that area. People are starving for the word. For the real. Not for junk food. Listen to this, Amos 8:11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. This is metaphorical as far as the famine language, a famine of the word. That's why he uses the contrast. You think of bread, you think of water when you think of famine, but he's saying there's a famine of the word, the bread of life. The meat of the word, the milk of the word. People don't realize how hungry they are. There's a famine of hearing it. They can't hear. Their ears are closed. The bully spirits are picking their hands up and putting them in their ears. They're closing their eyes so they can't see and be healed. Bully spirits, outlaw spirits. They don't even realize how hungry they are. Because they've filled up on cotton candy and Skittles. I used to go to youth camp, and I'd have like $20 spending money. And they have like a cafeteria. My registration paid for that. I'd go eat a meal, a hot meal. But you know what DH did? I played tetherball until the last second. Or I played softball until the last second. Or I played basketball until the last second. And then here's what I did. I ran over to the concession stand. And I'm like, I'll take some Skittles and some cotton candy. And I'm just going to tell you, by the end of the week, old Donovan has some problems. Young child Donovan had some issues. People have issues, but it's because they've been eating all this junk food. They think they're full, but they're full of junk. Here's the deal. When they get around you, though, you've been delivered, thank God, from those old religious spirits. You're no longer bullied by their religiosity. And these people, they'll start to smell the hot bread of the Word of God. and the meat of the Word and the milk of the Word, and an appetite awakens in them. I seriously remember coming home from youth camp, coming to my mama's house, and mom's cooking a roast or some kind of chicken or some kind of home-cooked meal. And I'm like, dog, I hadn't eaten in a week, you know, like, I mean, like, my appetite, it just began to awaken. And people are sick of the shallow and the hollow and the syrupy. They don't realize it, but they are. And you are an influence on them. What they want is deep. They want the solid. They want the meat and potatoes. Not the superficial, not the sugar high, not the artificial sweeteners, not the preservatives. And they know there's a difference. A difference. You know, the first brain implant took place, I believe it was last week. A chip was installed in someone's brain. No pun intended, but it was the brainchild of Elon Musk. Neuralink placed a chip in a patient, I think, that had Alzheimer's. And Musk tweeted or X'd, whatever it is. The results look promising. Our world is saturated with artificial intelligence, AI. Pictures on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, they're not real. They're filtered. They do the selfie, and then they go to the filter app, and it looks totally different. They're worked on, they're airbrushed, they're edited. They're lies. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. It's not real. No wonder our culture is ripe for a presence-saturated, Holy Ghost-filled, Word-fed, Spirit-led, real, authentic Church of the Living God that really loves people but speaks the truth in love. And says, we're not just telling you what you want to hear and trying to scratch your ear. We're telling you what the Word says. It'll help you. It'll make you better. It'll make you happier. It's the abundant life. So here's the deal, y'all. Company's coming. We've got to get ready. If we get ready, He's going to send them to us and us to them. We got to prepare ourselves. The Bible tells us, 2 Peter 3:9, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance. And this is true all over the world. It's happening. Millions of people are going to be coming to the Lord. They already are. Thousands and thousands. All over the world. Different cultures, ethnicities, races, all over the world. Coming to the Lord. I'm talking about baptized in Jesus' name, full of the Holy Ghost. Not to any specific organization or religion, but the church is experiencing growth all over the world. And that's the way it ought to be. And the house has to be ready. Here we go. We have to prepare the house for guests. Anticipating guests provokes us to do things we procrastinated about for a long time. So we had our dedication back in October around here. So I'm going to confess a little bit, okay? We were hosting a lot of pastors that came in from town, out-of-town guests. We hosted them at our house after that Friday night service or the Sunday of dedication. They came over to our house. And so I had orders from the general in the house. She's sitting on the front row right here, and her initials are VH. And she's like, okay, people are coming over. Here's some things you should have already done, but you haven't. But now, people are coming to the house. You got to get this stuff done. Okay, what's my to-do list? Well, I've sent you 75 text messages that's got your instructions on it. You got to power wash this. You got to power wash the windows, clean the windows. We got some kind of funky mold growing on the windows, you know. You need to take off those screens and clean those windows. You got to clean the concrete. You need to get the leaves out of the yard. You got to blow the leaves off the front pavement and make sure that's all cleaned up. I mean, it was just, we got all these all these cypress needles on the roof. You got to get those off the roof. And then, man, that was a mess. And, you know, just everything you can imagine. You got to wipe down the patio furniture. I'm not saying our stuff looked horrible. I didn't think it did. I'm like, why? It looks great. She's like, huh? We're getting ready. She's like, it's not, as my grandma would say, up to snuff. My grandma didn't dip snuff. I don't know what that meant. But then my great-grandma did. That's another story. But you know, she was saying, it's not up. You're acting like you're not expecting anybody to come over. But we got a house full coming over. And you got to get the house ready. Folks, we got to get the house in order. We got to get the place ready. We got to get it ready. And I'm going to show you what that means here. Luke 14. I've been going 27 minutes. I won't be much longer. Luke 14, starting with verse 16. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come. Notice this, for all things are now ready. He got ready. And then the guest could come. We got to get some things in order. We've got to get some things right. But now, let's go on. Verse 18. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and must go and see after it. Go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I married a wife, therefore I can't come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house was angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there's room. The master said, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper that didn't show up. Here's the idea. God wants a full house. He wants this house full. He wants this church building full. I want to apply it this way. We've got to get the house ready. We've got to set the stage. We've got to be expecting people to show up. And we got to go get them. Yesterday, Rose had contacted us. Our sweet Rose over here. Rosa Sharon. And she said, I want to do something at the church this week. I've got some time. Is there anything I could do? Well, we had all kind of dust developing under the instruments. Everybody scared to dust under the instruments. And so she came up here and she got all the dust out from under the organ, the keyboard, the guitars, all the wires and stuff. She went to town. What was she doing? Getting the place ready, right? Getting the place ready. Here's the deal. It's not just physically, but I want you to hear me. We gotta get rid of the clutter, not only in the room, not only in the property, not only with this building. Here's some application. Clutter is unnecessary junk that we allow to hang out that needs to be thrown away. Stuff we hold on to. Let me ask you this. What if somebody walked in the back door to this church that owed you money and you were holding a grudge against them because of it? What's more important, you getting paid back or them coming to know Jesus in a way they've never known him before? I know what you're thinking. You're like, both. But we can't hold on to grudges. We can't hold on to that stuff. What if somebody who is a political opposite of you walks in the back door? What if your least favorite politician walks in the back door right there? Are you going to thumb your nose at them because you disagree with them politically and maybe in so many other areas? Or are you going to be glad that they're in the house because maybe they'll get to know Jesus in a way that they've never known him before? Come on now. I told you, I work with some people today. What if somebody walks in that has a obvious sexual problem, a transgender, I mean, we've had all this stuff, right? Same sex, couple, whatever. They just come in. What are you going to do, thumb your nose at them? No, not at all, because there's a possibility. This master invited all the right people, and the right people said no. I had a rich guy tell me one time about our church. Long time ago. A rich guy, he visited our church, and he said, so when are you going to buy a building, and what are you going to do? And he was asking questions, and I told him, well, this is what we're thinking. And he said, well, I looked around. It doesn't look like anybody in your church can afford to do anything like that. I was offended. That's y'all, you know, or maybe almost y'all, maybe some of y'all, I can't remember. But it was like, I was offended. I'm like, well, we have some people of means, you know, like, what are you talking about? Hey, but he was in a bougie other echelon, okay? He was just calling it the way he saw it. You know, I didn't see Lamborghinis, and that was his world. And he looked around, he was just making an honest assessment. This guy invited all the right people, and they said no. And the master said, well, go out and invite the poor and the broken and the maimed, the people that don't have it together. They are messed up people, and they smell bad. They don't pay their bills. They don't take care of themselves. They got all kind of brokenness. They're addicts. They got all kind of issues in their lives, and invite them to the house. And he went out and invited them, and he's like, master, there's still room. He's saying, go out to the highways and the byways. I mean, go out to the sticks, man. Go out and find the guys sitting on the front porch playing the banjo in the woods, you know. Go find those people and compel them to come in. Beg them to come in. Please come to church with me. Well, the roof would cave in if I walked in church. No, I promise you it wouldn't. Now, it would have right after Hurricane Ida, but it won't now, I can promise you. So it's a matter of decluttering. Let go of old grudges. Hebrews 12. Lay aside every weight and the sin that easily besets us. Part of our running the race is getting people saved. Am I right? I mean, it's insane for us to think that our race is I race home from work, I change clothes, I eat supper, and I race to church. That's the race that we're running. Hebrews says we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Some of these guys are martyrs, man, laying their lives down to help other people get saved, risking their lives. We're so risk averse. I don't want to, you know, weather gets questionable. Oh, I'm rambling now. We find any excuse we can. This sports season just opened up, and you know, we're big into that. This hunting season opened up, and you know, Pastor, I'm gonna bring you some deer meat. I'm just saying, you know, we got our little stuff, right? And we're so easy, so risk averse. The race includes winning people to Jesus. And how can you ask somebody to church that you only go to half the time? Oh my God, I'm preaching to the faithful, but you know, like people that only show up half the time, they can't invite anybody because they've eliminated 50% of people's opportunity to be there when they're there. And the majority of people come to church because they were invited, and it's not usually that they went without the person. They went to see the person. Come sit beside me. I'll be there with you. So we've got to let go of some of those things, and we got to get rid of stumbling blocks for people. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the path of sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful. We've got to get out of the way of sinners. We can't block them from coming to the altar, block them from coming into our church. We've got to invite them. There was a dude sitting right here the other day, Wednesday night a week ago when we had the missionaries. Joel speaks Spanish. He can hardly speak English. And Joel was parking his trailer over here, and there was a guy named Victor. He was sitting right here on the side of the building. He had his phone plugged into an outlet. And, I mean, looked like he had just come off of work. And, I mean, he was dirty, and he was a mess, but he was trying to get a signal. He was riding a bike. I said, "Hey, Victor." I said, "Hey, my name's Donovan." He was struggling to communicate with me. But I got his name was Victor, you know. So I went and I got the missionary. And I said, "Joel, come talk to this guy." And he's like, he thought he was getting in trouble. I said, "No, you can plug in here. That's fine. Power up your phone." I said, "We'd love to have you be our guest at church." And he's like, "Maybe Sunday." I said, "You can come tonight. I mean, just like that. You can come tonight." Well, he wasn't bathed, you know. You can get the Holy Ghost and not be bathed, and we can bathe you right there in that water in Jesus' name, right? I mean, it's funny, but it ain't funny. I'm just saying. We got to get the house in order. Here's another thing we have to do. I'm almost done. Oh, my. I love props. Oh, yeah. We got a vacuum. And we vacuum. Dear Lord, we're going to shampoo this stuff again before Easter. You ever heard the expression, "suck it up, buttercup"? With guests around and inviting guests, it ought to help you quit griping and complaining and being negative. I talked to a pastor this week. This is fantastic. This is a hilarious story up in North Carolina. And he is launching a capital campaign for a big building project. Big old great church, man. And they had this Sunday morning breakfast thing that they did. And they had all these tables set up. They had table leaders who were queued up onto what was going on with the building, and people could ask questions of the table leaders, and it was this kind of pre-service deal. Well, a first-time visitor shows up for the breakfast. And my pastor friend's telling me this. He said, one of my table leaders, this first-time guest, goes to the table leader and is sitting at the table leader. He said, "I walked by, and the table leader is saying, 'Well, you know, I'm really not for this building program, but we're going to do it anyway.'" And the pastor told me, he said, I was so mad. I'm like, you're telling a first-time visitor? I mean, right off the bat, you displaying disunity? You know, like, why are you doing this? That pastor was so mad. And, we've never had anything stupid like that here. But it was hilarious. Listen, suck it up, buttercup. You know, keep some of that stuff amongst us. We can work out that kind of stuff. You don't want to drive somebody away with complaining and negativity. They're used to that out there. I'm not saying we sweep stuff under the rug, but I am saying that we watch our language and how we talk. The vacuum cleaner removes things that have come inside that belong outside, you know. You got to suck it up. Dusting. I don't have time to get into that. Dust is flesh. And, carnality. We got to get rid of that stuff. Got to get you some Pledge and dust it right off. Huh? Oil of the Holy Ghost, right, yes. And We've got to clean the windows. Here's something about that. We've got to be transparent and real. They don't need any more duplicity and hypocrisy in the church. I want them to see right through me, and hopefully when they do, they see Jesus. Amen? I'm not perfect, but Jesus is. And, you know, Paul said, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. We don't want to be tinted. We don't want to be tainted. We want to be real. And the house, you can stand with me right now. It should smell fresh. Oh, boy. I found this somewhere in this closet back here. Glade Cashmere Woods. Cashmere Woods? Never heard of it. I don't even know what's cashmere. Isn't that like a material? Cashmere Woods? Maybe it'll be one of the names of our twins. You know, this is Cashmere Woods. Here's the deal. Nobody likes the smell of yesterday's fish, last month's revival, last year's heyday. We need something fresh in this house. Fresh prayer, fresh praise, fresh word, fresh bread. Psalm 141, 2. May my prayer be set before you like incense, Lord. Lifting up my hands, be like the evening sacrifice. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let my prayers be a pleasing aroma to the Lord. I mean, I want, you know, the Lord's mercies are new every day, and we're not consumed. So He has everyday mercy and everyday compassion and faithfulness every day. And my praise and worship needs to be fresh every day too. Fresh mercy, fresh prayer, fresh praise, fresh word. Sing a new song, new songs. People are like, I wish we'd sing old songs. Well, I do too, man. I love some of those old songs, but you got to sing a new song too. Some of the new songs are old songs to new people. We need a pantry and a refrigerator that's stocked. Bread and wine, the fruit of the vine, the metaphors in Scripture, word and spirit. Bread and oil, word and spirit. We need that. We're having company. I want to be ready. And I'm just going to tell you, my prayer is that God would make us so uncomfortable not trying to reach out to win souls that we would be miserable. I'm serious. We wouldn't sleep at night. We would toss and turn. God would give us nightmares of people slipping away into eternity that crossed our path, that we didn't open our mouths and share some kind of encouraging word or give them some kind of chance to have an open door. Just pray God would make us miserable. Church is too complacent. And can I just end like this by saying, the same religious spirit that has made, that's bullied people into being complacent in false doctrine teaching churches has bullied the truth teaching churches to being complacent with us four and no more. And I pray God would give us a burden so strong that I told you, I grew up in a church that said, if you're not trying to win souls, then you must be going to hell. And I'm trying to close this. I feel the Lord. My son's preaching tonight. He and I were talking in Florida. He's preaching on the shoes of the armor of God, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shoes. You always preach about the armor of God. Nobody really talks about the shoes. But Caleb was telling me, he was saying, Dad, those shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Those are feet. How beautiful are the feet of those that carry the good news, that carry the gospel. If you're not carrying the gospel, you're not wearing the armor on your feet. You're exposed. Your feet are going to be damaged. Your feet were made to carry the gospel, to carry the good news to somebody. The devil, when they crucified Jesus, he made sure he nailed him in place with his feet. Those feet that carried the good news, and that would crush his head. Paul said to the church, Satan's going to crush, God's going to crush Satan's head under your feet shortly. There's something about this gospel message that it has to be carried by each of us. Give me a burden, Lord, so strong that it will motivate me, it will move me, it will push me. It will stop me from being complacent and being selfish. I'm going to heaven, and that guy's weird, and he's probably going to hell. No. I'm going to heaven, and that guy's got problems, and I know a Jesus in a way that he doesn't. If he only knew Jesus like I knew him, it can make a difference in his life. I'm going to try to open a door. I'm going to push. I'm going to give you an opportunity, God, to move. How can I do this? In Jesus' name. Would you close your eyes with me right now? I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Of course, your mercy is new every day. And I, as the pastor of this church, Lord, I just want to be the first to say I'm sorry for being selfish, self-consumed, caught up with my own stuff that I should have sucked up and just walked on. My complaints, my gripes. Lord, there have been weights that I have carried, stuff going on in my life, and I use them as excuses to be complacent. I've missed out on opportunities because I was in a funk. I was in a bad mood. I wasn't thinking clearly. I missed opportunities, moments to minister, maybe to a waitress that did a terrible job, maybe to somebody that did me wrong in business, maybe to somebody who let me down and I blew up on them instead of saying, this could be an opportunity to minister grace to this person and help them get beyond the jam that they're in personally, their personal world. God, give me a burden. Would you please give me a burden? Shake me to awake me, God. Help me to understand. I've got to get ready because company's coming. And it's my responsibility to go out into the highways and byways. I've got to go out. I've got to get the house ready, and I've got to go out and invite people to the house, Lord. I've got to get people into a relationship with you.
Thank you for joining us. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. You can also visit us in person at 15050 Daigle Road, Prairieville, Louisiana. Services are at 10 a.m. Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday.